Hey, it's Greg Gutfeld. This is the one. Boy, what an exciting last 24 hours. We're a lot of crazy stuff. We had an election. Jeff Sessions just was fired, or did he resign? Did he get fired? He resigned? I guess he resigned. If you could tell, I'm extremely exhausted because, you know, I was out rioting all night. I was burning houses and trashing cars and punching resistance activists, because that's what Republicans do when they lose. You know, we go out, we riot. Actually, we end up – what did I do? I went to the gym, got on the old stair climber, watched at my gym. They had CNN and MSNBC on. So I watched them prepare to go after – oh, look, here comes my guest. My guest is Dana Perino. You might know her from various shows like The Five. And she does something called The Daily Briefing, which is on at 2 o'clock. That's why she's a little late, because she was doing –
I'm not late.
Yes.
I said 3:15 and 3:15.
I know. You're on time. I'm just being a jerk.
Woo!
Put on your headphones, because we're taping. Don't swear. Hey.
Hello, everybody.
There you go. Well, I was going to ask you a question. Damn it.
I love this podcast.
It's so much fun. It's very – you know – I was just talking about how exhausted I am from all the rioting I did today.
Oh, you rioted?
Yeah, I rioted. Because, oh, you know, the Dems got the house.
Did you scream like that one lady?
I screamed. I beat up some strangers.
I got good news for you, though.
What?
The Republicans did really well in the Senate.
I know they did. So now
no
I,
need to riot.
You know what, though? But rioting is so much fun, and so is looting. That's what people don't talk about. Can I ask you, did Sessions get fired or resign? Because CNN says fired.
He was fired. Well, let's just say that if your boss calls you in the morning and says, please submit your resignation.
Yeah.
And then you do. And you have to do it so quickly that you don't have time to even date the letter.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That it doesn't have a date on it.
Or is that one of those letters?
It could be one of those, like, you know, you always have one ready to go. Like, here you go, sir.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so Jeff Sessions was fired. Really interesting that the president decided to do the press conference before making this announcement,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's the only thing he would be asked about.
Exactly.
It also reminded me of 2006, if you can go back in the time machine with
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
The day after George W. Bush lost the majority in the 2006 midterm, who got fired? Don Rumsfeld.
Oh, that's right. And I was going to say that.
That was because the war was considered to not be going well. That's certainly debatable with some in terms of the strategy going forward. But regardless, he was a casualty.
You know, I'm going to say something, and I'll probably – this people listening to this, it'll be after the five, so it'll sound like I'm repeating myself, because I'm going to use this talking point when we talk about Sessions. No one should be surprised, because he lasted 2 years, and 2 years in Trump world is actually
– 14.
14 years. It's like – it's. I mean
– did you hear what the president said today when they said, you know, you have a heart – you expect a lot of staff turnover.
Yeah.
Are you concerned? And he said, no, this is – the White House is hot. Everybody wants to work here. And he said, but it has amazed me. These young people, they come and work here. And 2 years later, they're old. And there was all this laughter from the right side of the room, which is where all the staff was sitting. And yes, it's true. I look much younger now than I did 10 years ago.
You don't even – sometimes I don't even recognize the pictures that you're in.
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Like, I saw some old pictures. And I go, that's not Dana Perino. You look sad.
Really?
Yeah, in those pictures. Like, you're tired.
I was tired.
Yes.
I was, you know, it was a lot. I don't know. I had a great
but I looked,
job. But yeah, like, I didn't, there was no hair and makeup. There was none of this, like, stuff. And the sleep thing is a big deal, turns out. Turns out humans need sleep.
Yeah. You know what?
Except for Donald Trump, who apparently doesn't.
Doesn't need any. In fact, it's like he's, what's that word that I can never say? Indefatigable?
Indefatigable.
Thank you. Say that again.
Indefatigable?
Indefatigable. Indefatigable?
Indefatigable.
Okay, there's fatigue.
Indefatigable. Fatigable.
Wait, say that again. Indefatigable.
No, it's not. That's not how you say it.
When you did your audiobook, did you ever come across words
yes.
that you couldn't pronounce that you've known all your life,
absolutely.
But you've never said them?
I still do that on the five sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, wait, did I just – is that right? Is that correct?
Like machinations? Is it? I used to think
machinations?
It was, I thought it was machinations.
No, but I don't think it's machinations.
No, it's machinations.
Machinations is not it.
But I still – Rick can keep saying indefatigable and I'll never get it because I just like it's
just,
you know
you
what,
say tireless.
You know what it is? There should be an evolutionary practice with words. Like if you can't say it, it should die. A word should go away, just like an extinct animal.
I think that does happen.
Does it?
Yeah, they go out of fashion.
Yeah, there's no ye old Walgreens anymore.
That's right.
Welcome to the ye old Walgreens shop, PPE.
Or the ye old Woolworths. There's no Woolworths anymore.
That is true. You know, I came up with a word that I think you should use for your show.
Okay.
And I'm going to support it with information.
Okay.
Denalysis. 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 That's a point that Dana Perino makes that turns out to be true. Denalysis
was. And it's not the spin.
Yeah, it's not just the spin stops here. The spinster. No, that you said that this is maybe about a month ago. You said that Trump would become a better leader and president with someone to balance him, and kind of engage him in his negotiating powers. That means if it would be a good thing for him to get the House. And it was it's interesting because you hear that talking point from him now, and he's basically saying this is the. And also, Scott Adams quoted you about this a while ago. He said, this is the best possible outcome ever. And that Trump said that. He's like, you know, now, you know, this is going to be great.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But just knowing what we knew from Donald Trump a while ago. Imagine if he'd not had the House initially.
Oh, God.
Okay, because you come in initially.
Yeah,
they might be mad at you. But do you think that would he have been able to get a couple of deals done with Pelosi and Schumer? These are people that he knows that he likes Schumer. He's like, come on, man. We've been to all these dinners and parties together. Like I speak your language.
Yeah.
You speak mine. We should do something for the people. We should do some infrastructure. Like last night, or maybe it was this morning, Nancy Pelosi is talking about how they are going to fight for price controls on pharmaceutical drugs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's what the president wants to do, too.
Exactly.
Like, you're going to have to fight Kevin McCarthy on that, not the president.
Yeah, so it makes you think, like, are they now going to turn against the people that they care for if it means agreeing with Trump and Trump succeeding somewhat? So it's like if you want help for, like, prison reform, which is what the Dems are into, so is Trump. But are you going to agree with it if it makes Trump look good? Maybe you won't.
Prison reform might be easier without Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
That
he was
true.
Very much against it.
Also— you know what's happening? Legalization of marijuana. That's why he's leaving. Because I think Trump signaled.
He's being fired because of the Russia investigation.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I think it's more about pot, and I'm going to stick to that.
Okay.
because like before the election, Trump signaled that he was going to decriminalize, didn't he? Somewhere?
Well, the thing is, I think Trump in his heart does not want to decriminalize.
Yeah.
But that he has been convinced and heard from enough people that, look, the states have voted for this.
Yeah.
You should be a federalist, right? You don't have to run all the states. You're just supposed to be the federal government guy.
Right.
And he bought into that. And I think that sometimes you want to be for what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. I'm like that. I'm usually against what happens.
No, but you like if you're a leader and you can tell the country's headed one way, you just like jump on that train. I'm like, oh, that's, I'm for that.
Yeah, no, you're leading the parade instead
Like price controls for pharmaceuticals, which is a terrible idea, but they're going to try it.
I have a metaphor, but I'm going to save that for the five. But denalysis is something
I like it.
Yeah, you should probably have a logo made, and it should be for like
I'm writing this down.
Yeah, and it should be a logo. Time for the denalysis. And it's kind of – you know what it should be? It should be at the end of the show, at the end of the 2 o'clock
like
show.
Like a little 30-second, like, here's my denalysis.
Because there's usually some point where you have, like, a press conference and you have time to kill.
Yeah.
Write something. It does sound like dialysis.
Time to kill.
But
well, maybe we could get a sponsor.
Oh, there you go. That is terrible. The first thing you think of is money. I think the patient. I think that today we taught liberals a lesson. By the way, first of all, congratulations on your acting debut on the GG show.
Wow, people loved it.
One of the most popular things we've ever done was the torture. What do you call it? Torture? It begins with an R. The word rendition.
Oh, the rendition of Tom Shalhoub.
Yeah, the rendition of Tom Shalhoub. That's what it would be called if it was.
Rendition is not necessarily torture.
When you're reading about Jasper, it is. But no,
the rendition is when you get taken from one place to the next. So then you might be questioned or interrogated or tortured.
Well, If you haven't seen it, I retweeted it, but it's a skit that Dana and Tom Shalhoub did about what was it like, what's it called? Not getting over the election. So everybody knows on my staff.
They were traumatized.
That,
yes, that's what it was.
Traumatized. But I am the one who's traumatized right now. My brain is I've not had a day off in 11 days. So I have like – I'm having total brain farts. And you can say that, by the way.
I think I'm the opposite.
Yeah, you get better.
I sort of like the more I work, the – like I slept 4 hours last night. I woke up. I'm like, whoop, ready to go. I got like 10-5. Oh, I have to do Tucker tonight and all this stuff.
Not me. My body aches everywhere. I have weird aches. For example, okay. If I cross my legs, mm-hmm. the right leg over the left leg, if I cross my leg, I get this shooting pain up the –
Oh, because that's up in your back. You know you're not supposed to cross your legs.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yes.
Thank you, doctor.
Pilates teacher would tell you that, right?
Maybe I should take Pilates because Elena, my wife, does it. You do it, right?
I do. I love
Everybody loves Pilates, but it's only women who tell me this.
It's strength and stretch at the same time.
Yeah. But I also have a pain in my abdomen, and I already had my appendix out, so it can't be an appendix. And it hurts. And I'm wondering if it's like – I don't know what it is. When you get older, you get all these weird pains. But I always go back to the book that – the back book – If you just ignore it,
it changed my life. That book,
yeah, it's and Healing Back Pain by Sarnoff. No, Sarno. Sarnoff is the terrorist. Doctor
Frank.
No, I don't. Sarno.
Doctor Sarno. Sarno.
Sarno. Thank you. But anyway, now I use that psychology for all pain. Like if I feel
I never tried that because you know what happened to me? I have pulled a muscle in my hand. From the phone.
Wow.
Because last night I was trying to keep up with all the election results, uh-huh. And I have pulled this muscle right here.
That's interesting.
Oh, it's so sore.
So the thing is, though, it's interesting. What I think about how that book.
Workers' comp.
Oh, no, you know what? I tried that. I looked into that when I got my head hit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a pain in the ass. It's like.
You don't even want to go through the process.
Yeah,
they make it so hard.
That's funny. I hit my head and I said pain in the ass. But it is a pain. And I just wasn't worth it because it's like you just want to get back to work.
Just going to have to use voice text.
There you go.
That's dangerous.
But I was in a meandering way talking about trauma that I think today we taught liberals a lesson. I'll talk about this on the 5, so you'll hear this again.
Okay.
How to handle losing. Like, remember last week I talked about, you know, you win, you go hunting, you lose, you go hunting. It's like I don't know anybody –
None of my plans changed.
None of my plans changed. And life went on. But do you remember after 2016, which was a devastating loss, I guess, for some people, how you could feel it in the air because you knew that there were so many people upset?
I would go back to because I went from working in government and working for President George W. Bush to then coming here to do Denalysis.
Yes.
And 2012 for me, though, I took kind of personally.
Yeah.
Not personally. Like, it wasn't about me. But I was – really sad, mm-hmm. devastated. I couldn't. And then I went home that night, glass of red wine, half an Ambien.
Ha!
And I told myself, when I go to bed,
yes,
when I wake up in the morning, I will never think about this again.
With a half an Ambien and wine, you probably wouldn't.
Right?
Yes.
I woke up the next day and I was like, from here on out, I am going to do analysis. I am not going to get wrapped up in a result.
Exactly.
Because these things come and go. It's one of the reasons that Mitch McConnell always told Harry Reid, don't change that rule, because this chamber is going to come back around another way, and it's going to hurt you. Oh, by the way, now we have all these Supreme Court justices.
Because of you, Harry.
Exactly.
Exactly. I think there's also good news. Like, part of this lesson is to be happy for Democrats. Like, I'm happy for you, especially. I'm happy because the Democrats that won are kind of normal.
Well, this is a good story. I had Meredith Kelly from the DCCC on.
What's that?
Democrat. They're the Democratic.
It sounds like a bra size. Anyway,
but that would be amazing. I'm sorry, Greg. That would not be just be a normal bra size. DCCC. Their job is to find and recruit candidates to run for office in these various districts.
Yeah.
I think they did an excellent job. They looked at districts where they said, okay, a former veteran who is for. Maybe she's pro-life. There's not that many, but maybe she's pro-life. Maybe she's a deficit hawk. Maybe that will work really well in this district. I just interviewed Colin Allred. He's played for the Titans.
Yeah.
He got injured, goes to law school, becomes a civil rights lawyer, grew up with a single mom in Texas, outside of Dallas. He just won last night. He beat a 12-term Republican incumbent.
Wow.
And he doesn't want to work against Trump necessarily. He's like, I want to make things happen for my district. I want infrastructure spending. I want this. Now, new congressmen are always
like that.
Very optimistic and exciting. But look, both parties have something to be glad about today. The Republicans and the Senate, the Democrats, and not just the House, but the state legislatures, several governors that they really wanted to win, like in the upper Midwest.
Right.
Like, it's great that Trump was able to hold on to the governorships in Ohio and Florida. That's super important for 2020. But he lost Michigan, Wisconsin. He flipped Ohio?
That's a joke.
Oh, from Kasich.
I saw that on Twitter. Made me laugh. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Good. No, I was just saying, like losing the suburbs.
Right.
That's not a long-term growth plan.
No.
Also, every single Republican judge in Houston and Dallas lost to a Democrat.
That's interesting.
The Democrats are on the march across the country. Republicans got to get a handle on that.
That's good. That's good to know. Let's see. What else can I ask you about? Do you have anything you want to ask me? Youth vote was no different than ever was.
I never saw a percentage.
13%.
That's it?
Yeah. I think that's good news.
114 million people voted.
Yeah, so that's not – it's not presidential, but it's higher than most midterms.
Higher than most midterms, but still less than half of the population.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of people not voting. You know that, right?
Well, not voting is a vote.
Yes, it is. And especially if you don't know anything, stay home. Did we talk about this somewhere? Where
were
we?
On the 5, I think.
What?
Were we on the 5?
I don't remember.
We've done a lot of 5s.
I think we've done too many 5s.
I don't think people can get enough of the 5.
You know, we were number one on Sunday. The 5 was number one in the demo.
It's the worst. Remember when we used to
do that
lead up to 2016, and then they kept asking us to do more Sundays?
Success just breeds more work, and we just have to, we have to stop being so good.
Yeah.
I think the 5 has to
throw the game.
Yes, we have to throw the game. Did you like being outside?
Yeah, I did. I like changing it up just a little bit. I'm ready to go back to normal now, though. Like, I feel like
there's no
election
normal.
Season is done. I really liked being on the panel last night, and it's fun to watch people like Britt Hume and Chris Wallace, who are thinking machines, going through all the history and analysis. And then Karl Rove was sitting to my left, and I don't know where he finds these things, but he's looking at Pinellas County and the precincts and the thing, and he's got it so precise, and he's like scribbling stuff down on the piece of paper. And I thought Fox's coverage was great.
Oh, and I have to say that I was at this viewing event in the building.
How was that?
You know what?
Good food?
I they had sliders. I love beef sliders. They had lamb chops, but I can't eat lamb anymore because because Elena doesn't like lamb. And I somehow when somebody doesn't like something,
it affects you.
It's contagious.
Yeah.
It's like I always talk about the side effects on pharmaceutical commercials always affect me.
Like by proxy?
Yeah. I just don't want to hear him. I don't want you. It may cause this. I mean, so when Elena, I used to eat lamb almost 3 times a week at this Indian restaurant in England on Well Street. And
lamb korma or something?
Yeah. It was great. It was just this red sauce. But Elena hates.
I don't like lamb either.
Yeah. She hates the smell. And I think when
it's
was
too sweet.
When she was a child, I think she killed a sheep. Or a lamb. She killed a lamb. No, she tried to ride it when she was a child, and I think she killed it.
Oh.
But anyway, so now I don't eat lamb. But so they had lamb. They had sliders. I had a lot of red wine, I'm not going to lie. But it didn't matter because I didn't have to work anymore.
Was there anybody interesting there?
Oh, yeah. You know who I talked to at length? Hope Hicks.
I told you she's going to be there.
I didn't know that.
She's so nice.
She's very sweet. And she's like a movie star.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's almost distracting.
I you know what it is? It makes me think that's how people feel around me.
A little bit.
Yes.
It takes a while to get used to you.
She's really close in terms of, in terms of attractiveness. Mm-hmm. So I could sense that. And then who else was there? Laura Ingraham was there.
She got to go?
Yeah, she was.
Was that where she was when they were looking for her to be on the panel?
She knew she was doing the panel, but maybe I thought she.
Yeah,
she disappeared.
She disappeared because she wasn't supposed to have gone, and she didn't know that.
Oh.
Because they didn't really give you too much direction.
Oh,
of course,
wow.
You know me. I don't ever want to get in trouble, so I just sat there in the green room until they needed me all night.
Wow. Yeah.
I did something kind of reckless. I walked home.
That's what time?
12:30.
That's not a. That is crazy.
But,
I mean, New York City is safe, but it's not that safe.
It's not that safe. I'm not going to do
it again.
Too
many weirdos.
I'm not going to do it again.
But then again, if you choose, I'm not going to say where you live, but where you walk is fairly populous.
The weird thing is I'm hardly ever out that late.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be.
Did you notice how dark it was?
I did notice it was dark. But, you know, like when the 5 was at 9 o'clock and it ended at 10, I would walk home and it would be very populated because Broadway is right in Times Square, like where we are.
It's great. You can, there's nothing can happen to you, but you never know. It's like, but then again, it's kind of safe. But 12:30 at night,
it's just like it was too hard, like to get the car and the thing and whatever.
Did you have your keys between your knuckles?
I did. I was prepared to karate chop someone.
There you go. And then you would have been on TMZ.
I do think that one thing I would ask you is, what can the Republicans do to explain that their policies of lower taxes that leads to economic growth,
right,
and driving the growth engine, is the economic benefit? Like, we've gotten into this mentality of that, okay, so she got $500 tax cut, a $1,200 tax cut, and it might not sound like it's all that much.
Yeah.
The point of the tax cut is not just to put money back in your pocket, though that's good and helpful.
Yeah.
It's to drive the economic growth of the country.
Right.
And they're not telling that story. And it's been a problem for decades for the Republicans.
Yeah, it's an accumulative effect of everybody. And it's like, that's why you can have certain liberals just laugh and call it crumbs or make fun of you. But you know, it's an accumulative effect. So you feel it when everybody's doing it. You know what it is? You almost need an analogy of where something doesn't have an effect until everybody's doing it. Like applause. I don't know. I'm just trying to think
No, it is something that everyone, I think, should be thinking about. And the Democrats, too, because their economic message is make sure that we cover pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
That's not an economic growth plan.
No,
and it is a good thing to do, and it should be handled, but it's not growth.
Yeah, I don't know, boy.
Anyway, I feel like everybody has something to be happy about from last night.
Exactly.
But there are the split between rural and urban America is deepening.
Yeah.
And the Republicans have started to lose the suburbs to the Democrats.
Right.
Suburbs, that's where most people live.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't try to figure out a way to turn that around, they could be in trouble in the future.
What about the exurbs?
I lived in an exurb.
What is an exurb?
It's like, you know, like a suburb would be right outside the city.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking San Jose and then San Mateo.
Right. San Mateo.
Then what's one more that would be just slightly more rural where you might have people that have 5 acres of land, horse, maybe.
I don't know. Benicia might be an exurb. I don't know. San Mateo County. Well, I don't know. Half Moon Bay is an exurb. San Mateo is a suburb.
Okay.
I think that's what I mean.
So exurbs are growing, though, in population.
Okay.
And the people that are moving there are younger, tend to be more Democratic, Obama voters.
Is there anything on the show that you're excited to talk
about?
Oh,
well, they just changed everything. To be honest, I haven't looked yet.
Yeah, I'm we're going to talk about Sessions. I guess I shouldn't be saying this because the show's already over. You were great today on The Five, by the way. Excellent job on The Five today.
The Five, I mean, I really am quite good.
Yes. So I guess we should.
Can you believe that are people surprised when you remind them that The Five is in its eighth year?
It's incredible. It is in its
eighth. It's gone by fast and slow.
So it's almost as long as when I was on Red Eye. Red Eye, I think I left it 8 years. And that I thought was forever. And it's like, but this is like, you know what it is? It's because The Five is a soap opera. It is inside and out. Inside and out, it's a soap opera. So it's like there's so many things going on and people know you like they know somebody in your family. So it's kind of like it's like I can't imagine it going away because it's kind of like it's like we're all like family
members.
You
know what it is? It's like that what's that show in England? Coronation Street?
Yes, yes. Oh, boy.
And it's gone on for like 40 decades?
Yeah.
Or 40 years?
I remember when I was in a hotel and that was on, and the music is so depressing. And it was like there was a scene in a laundromat, and this little old lady's drinking tea. And I'm going, my God, what have I got myself into? That was when I took the job at Maxim. And I go, this is what England is. And I couldn't find anything else on TV.
Didn't have much back then.
No, they didn't. Well, it was 2000. And where was I? Maybe it was early. Maybe that wasn't that. Maybe it was in the 90s. I'm starting to prattle on like a weirdo.
It's a good podcast, though, that you got here.
Yes, it is.
Shame if anything happened to it.
I was just saying how Trump reminded me of Don Corleone in the press conference. Like, I'm here. You know, if you want to come see me, see. We'll work something out.
How about also when he was like naming all the people? It's like they didn't ask for my embrace. And then I'm like, but wait, Dana Rohrabacher, Chris Kobach, Corey Stewart, Katie Arrington. I could go on. They all lost, but they had the embrace.
Yeah. I just like the line, Mia Love gave me no love.
it's a good line, but you know, like you – Keeping somebody like Mia Love sort of in the family would not be a bad thing.
No, I thought she was a really great person.
I'm surprised she lost.
Me too. I didn't see that coming. But what do I know?
But she might end up in the cabinet somewhere. He'll call her and they'll patch things up.
Yeah, yeah.
She'll be the new attorney general.
One last thing I noticed on One Network that they went through the kind of all the great achievements of women on Tuesday. And it was so weird how they just leapfrogged over the GOP winners.
They didn't mention Marsha Blackburn?
On MSNBC, I only saw – I was at the gym. CNN, Jake Tapper actually did it, mentioned Young Kim.
Okay, Young Kim. Marsha Blackburn, not only can she claim that she's the first woman senator from Tennessee, she was the first woman congressperson from Tennessee way back when. Kristi Noem won the governorship up in South Dakota.
There's somebody else. Wait, you said talk Tennessee. There's somebody else. Iowa?
Oh, Kim Reynolds, the governor?
Yeah, Ohio, too. Who's Ohio? Female, right?
No. That's Mike DeWine.
He is fetching.
DeWine is a great name, though.
DeWine, though. Yeah.
Of wine.
I am going to go home after the 5 and drink a glass of wine and probably go to bed.
I'm going to do Tucker.
I'm going to the dentist tomorrow.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
We should do a podcast about your dental visit.
You know, this is the second time this week.
I know. Yeah. Because you often have to go back at this age.
Yes.
They always find something.
It's falling apart. Sorry I swore, but it's all falling apart. All right. I've kept you here long enough.
Okay.
See you guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.